Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Well, thanks, Jim. I'm Zach, here to set the table for you today. I'm so excited to present an interview that I did just a few weeks ago at Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia, as I hosted our annual Ignite Men's Impact Weekend Conference. I sat down with NFL veteran quarterback Kirk Cousins. Kirk has quite a testimony. Each year, it actually gets better and better because of the things that he's faced. In the past 2 years, Kirk endured a torn Achilles tendon, the physical journey back from that to play at a high level, then signing with a new team, and with that, the pressure of a new contract, and then getting benched late in the season. Well, one thing we do know is this. Kirk is the embodiment of faith and resiliency. He said to me on stage, "I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future." I like that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and as Kirk says, don't just know it, but feel it. So much to cover. Let's dive in. You guys know him. You guys love him. Kirk Cousins, next speaker, leader both on and off the field. As a Pro Bowl quarterback, he's known for his precision, perseverance, and relentless drive to win. But beyond football, he's a man of deep faith, strong character, and a commitment to using his platform to inspire others. Whether leading his team under the bright lights of the NFL or leading his family with integrity, he exemplifies what it means to compete with purpose. Hey, Ignite, let's bring him out. Help me welcome to the Ignite stage, my friend, Kirk Cousins. Kirk, welcome back, my friend.
It's good to be back.
This is round three.
It's fun to see all the Commanders fans, and feels good to be back.
That's right.
I love it. We were up in D.C. yesterday to go down memory lane, and my wife and I miss it a great deal. Our adult life was kind of started there after I got drafted, and for 6 years, it was such a privilege to live in Northern Virginia, to play for Washington, and so I was taking stock of all that God had done and the blessing it was that he brought me there back in 2012, and so just in the last 24 hours being back, I was just reminded of the goodness of God, and it's another reminder being here today of just all that God's done.
Well, we're so grateful to have you. It's been 7 years since we last had you, 2018, I was like, what in the world? And your wife, Julie, is here. Your son, Cooper, is in the house.
Yep.
And you left what? Turner, you left back with the in-laws.
Turner's back with the in-laws. We try to divide and conquer. But my son, when last time we were here, was 6 months old.
Yes.
And now he's in first grade, so time flies.
That's crazy, Kirk. Hey, you know, we're going to go on a journey here for a moment, but since we've last seen you, I want to let you guys know how Kirk has padded some of the statistics here. Now up to 42,979 passing yards, 288 touchdowns, being sixth all-time in completion percentage for quarterbacks with at least 1,500 pass attempts, 11th in the NFL's all-time regular season career passer rating. God is continuing to use you on and off the field, though, Kirk. And I think what everybody notices and what everybody appreciates about you is one word. It's your consistency. It's something that I think we can see really about you from the outside looking. I'd love to hear, though, you've been on some hills, some valleys over the last 7 years. What has God been teaching you specifically in this season?
Well, this past season was a tough season for me. Yeah. It started in March after, well, I should go back really to 2023 in week 8, having been healthy for really my entire professional football career and always being available. I have an expiring contract when the season's over. I don't know what's going to happen. And we play at Lambeau Field, and fourth quarter, third down, I thought I might take a sack, so I wanted to sprint forward. And when I went to transition, I thought a defensive end who had come around the edge stepped on my heel, which I get stepped on all the time in the pocket. Right. So I thought, just another time where my foot's going to hurt for 2 weeks. Oh, well. And I get stepped on and go forward and ended up getting tackled. Got up, my center picked me up, and I went to press my foot into the ground, and I couldn't feel anything. It was as if I, like when you press a gas pedal on your car, if you just couldn't, no matter how much you tried, you couldn't press the gas pedal down. And so I hopped off the field, and I said, I don't think I tore my Achilles, because my Achilles doesn't hurt. Everything else in my ankle hurts. And the foot and ankle surgeon said, that's because your Achilles is fully torn. So there's nothing left to feel. It is gone. So he said, everything else that's still intact is what's hurting. And he said, your season's over. So I took a moment and kind of laid there. They said, the cart's going to come around and get you and take you back into the locker room. So just take a minute, because the cart won't be here for a couple minutes. So they left, and I was in this blue tent on the sideline. And I remember at Lambeau Field kind of laying back on my back and feeling, okay, it's just me and God here in this moment. And I was just reminded of how I had to let go and had to trust God and his plan, even though this was not what I wanted. And then I watched that, you know, rest of that season from the sidelines, recovering from the Achilles. Ended up going to Atlanta, which we were very excited about.
Yes.
My wife is from Atlanta.
Nice.
And just felt like a great fit. And as the season started, everything was really up and up. It wasn't perfect. We were 6-3 and was playing well, and felt like, you know, this is a dream place to end my career, if you will, to be able to play here for several years. But then, you know, combination of some injuries and not making good decisions with the football, and started throwing interceptions, and we were losing. And the coach, you know, late in the year decided to make a change with 3 games left, and I was benched. And so, you know, between the torn Achilles and then the move and then being benched, it was a pretty full, you know, like you said, hills and valleys, year and a half. And through all of it, you know, I'm just reminded that God's on the throne. I've got to trust him. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future.
Yes.
And it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to feel it and live it. And so I'm kind of in that moment every day of, I know what I need to do, but can I do it and can I feel it in the way that I need to? And so we're in the middle of that right now. I'm not sitting here talking to you, you know, with all the answers, looking back saying, oh, this is how it all played out. I don't know how it's going to play out. But I've learned from previous experiences that it's my job to trust God and to obey God, and it's his job to handle everything else.
That's right.
That's the plan.
That's right. Kirk, you know, what I love that you're referencing is that especially in seasons of discouragement or disappointment, like, we have to rely back on what God has done, how he's carried us through time and time again. And, you know, I saw a video of you that went pretty viral this past year, especially in the midst of the hardship, in the midst of the inconsistencies and things. You went back to Minnesota.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I noticed was you knew everybody's name. Everybody on that staff was coming up to you. You were mic'd up, and you were just welcoming everybody. They were so happy to see you. But then you leaned in. I don't know who you leaned into, but you said this. You know, I remember something you told me a while back. Trust is our oxygen.
No doubt.
Speak to that, Kurt.
Yeah, it was Josh McCown, the quarterback coach. Josh is Minnesota's quarterback coach now. Josh played probably 18 years in the NFL.
Yeah.
But Josh had an up and down journey as well, like we all do playing pro sports. And I was a rookie playing in my first preseason game, and he was on the Chicago Bears. And so Washington went to Chicago to play, and he was in his 10th year, I think. I shook his hand in warm-ups. We have the same agent, so that was kind of the shared interest. And he came over to say hello to me, and he said, as he left to then go back to warm up with his team, he said, Kirk, just remember as you go on this football journey in the pros, because you're at the very beginning of it, trust him. No matter what, trust him. And I started to realize what he was talking about, because there would be valleys. There would be a torn Achilles. There would be, you know, getting benched multiple times. There would be interceptions that cost you chances at going to the playoffs. There would be those moments where you're going, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it. And I would always go back to what Josh said, just trust him. And so in that moment, again, that was a tough loss. You know, I threw a couple interceptions, and it just hit me as I saw Josh after the game. This was 13 years later after he said that. Yeah. And I'm sitting there, and I thought, you know, Josh, it's still our oxygen is to trust him. And if we're not going to trust him, we're gonna live suffocating all the time, just fighting for breath. But if we are able to trust him, that opens up this gateway of oxygen that enables us to inhale and exhale and enjoy the Christian life and live it as it was meant to be lived.
I've heard it said that when the wind's blowing and the rain is beating on the door, Kirk, that really reveals where our foundation rests.
No doubt.
And I want to go back to like those high school years.
Sure.
I want to go back to, you know, when there was an injury involved, sure, and there were no scholarship offers, and you probably couldn't even have dreamt of being here today, no, with the opportunities God has provided you with.
Right.
Take us back to, yeah, those moments.
Well, I you would think a guy who played in the NFL, he must have been pulled up to the varsity as a freshman or sophomore in high school. That was not my story. So as a junior in high school, I got to play my very first varsity football game. And my football dream was to just be the starting quarterback for my high school. You know, that would have been enough if I was able to do that. So the very first varsity game I ever quarterbacked, I got hit on my left side and broke my ankle. And it cost me to miss most of my junior football season. And I remember coming home from the hospital with a cast on my ankle, and I called my dad, who was at work, and I had tears in my eyes. And I said, Dad, the ankle's broken. I'm going to miss this season. But I said, more disappointing than just missing this high school football season, as disappointing as that is that because I won't be playing my junior year, I won't get recruited. I won't get to play college football. And my dad said, Kirk, you don't know that. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, to trust in the Lord with all your heart, to not lean on your understanding, in all your ways to acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. And so he said, you've got to trust him with all your heart and not lean on your understanding, which says you won't get to college and play football there. And so he said, you've got to kind of drive a stake in the ground in this moment and say, I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to acknowledge him, and I'm going to believe that he's going to direct my steps. And so a year and a half later, I ended up signing a scholarship to Michigan State, which would have been my dream school. And my dad came in the room, and he said, a year and a half ago, you said you couldn't play college football, and now you're signing to your dream school on a fully paid-for scholarship. And then I went to college, and what I realized is when you make a verse, your life verse, like I did with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, God's going to take you up on it. And so God has time and time again used football to put me in a position where that verse has to become very real. And I'm there again right now as I talk to you. I'm wondering, God, what are you doing? Where are you directing me? But I got to trust you. And I just think back on this journey over and over again. You know, my dad is a pastor, and he used to joke and say that I believe God led me to be a pastor because he knew it was a profession that would keep me on my knees before God. Mm-hmm. I'm now in a place, you know, in another cycle of the NFL of, do I get traded? Am I going to be with the Falcons? Are they going to release me? It could happen in the next week. Mm-hmm. All I know to do is two words, trust him. And let him direct the steps. And while I would have loved to have the path be different, I'd love to have 7 Super Bowl rings right now like Tom Brady has. I'm going to trust God and let him write the story and believe that God always wins and that he's the best storyteller there is.
I love those two words you said, trust him. Two words that I rely back on a lot just throughout my personal life, even my athletic career was even if, right, from Daniel chapter 3. Not
yes.
What if, not
yes.
Only if, but even if.
Amen.
And I feel like that is correlated to the trust that we have in our Father. God, I know you're a good God. I know you're a faithful God. I know you're going to lead me. I know you're going to guide me. So even if these trials come, when they come, God, I'm going to stay true again to my faith, to my family, and in a sense to the standard within me rather than succumbing to the expectations, opinions, or circumstances around me. Even if. Kirk, you have a fun story as to why you wear the number 8.
Yes.
I'd love for you to take us there.
Well, again, we were getting ready for the NFL draft in 2012, and there were 8 quarterbacks who were expected to be drafted and to have long NFL careers in that draft. And so it wasn't so much a question of which team was I going to go to, because you just don't know. Mm-hmm. It was more a question of all these teams have ranked these quarterbacks 1 through 8. Where do I fall? Am I going to be the first guy taken, the 8th guy, or somewhere in between? No, I don't. As a competitor, you don't want to be last. And I knew I wasn't going to be first because there was Andrew Luck at the top of the draft, but I was hoping to be higher as opposed to lower. And so we got together a couple nights before the draft, and my dad opened up the Bible, and he said, God put it on my heart to read from 1 Samuel 16. And in that story, Samuel, a prophet, goes to the house of Jesse because God told him to, and God told him from among Jesse's sons will be the next king of Israel. And so Samuel arrives at Jesse's house and says, I want to meet all your sons because one of them is the next king. And so Jesse gets his oldest, and his oldest walks out, and the oldest looks the part. He's, you know, tall and strong, and Samuel says, surely this is the guy. And God speaks to Samuel and says, no, I've rejected him. Samuel, you're looking at the outward appearance, but I, the Lord, look at the heart. I look at who they are on the inside, and he's not it. And so then the second son, that wasn't it either. Then the third son, the fourth son, the fifth son, the sixth son, the seventh son. Well, they go 0 for 7. So Samuel looks at Jesse and he says, none of these guys are it. Do you have any other sons? Because God told me one of your sons is going to be the next king, and we're 0 for 7. He said, well, there's one more. He's out in the field. He's a young boy. I didn't think he was even in the running, but his name's David. He said, bring him in here. Well, sure enough, David gets anointed as the next king, and David becomes the greatest king in the history of Israel. And I just saw on Amazon Prime, they're making a movie about his life. So yes, to this day, we're still talking about David. And so it was interesting because my dad referenced that verse about how man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And he said, the draft and much of the NFL, all they care about is the outward appearance. What's your 40 time? How much did you bench press? How tall are you? What'd you weigh? But God looks at the heart. And he said, Kirk, no matter where you get drafted in a couple days, I think the message God had for us is that while everyone's looking at the outward appearance, your heart needs to be surrendered to him. And if your heart is surrendered to him, whether you play one day or 10 years or whatever happens, trust him, let him lead, he will handle it.
Time and time again, I take the John Gordon approach where I choose one word for every year, right? I'm not a big resolutions guy. I like to have goals and, you know, work toward things. But my one word for this year that God really convicted me of was faithful, right? Because I feel like I spent a lot of my life trying to be first for a long time. But it wasn't, you know what? I don't want to compare, like we were talking about with Riley. I don't want to, in a sense, compete in that capacity. I love to compete. I love to win. But it's like, you know what, God? I just want to be faithful with what you've put in front of me. And there was a moment, like you said, this season, toward the latter half of the year, maybe didn't go as expected. But when the decision came to put Michael Penix Jr., a young rookie quarterback, in to start, there was a moment that I saw where you spent time in the tunnel just praying over that kid.
Yeah, we always pray. People ask me, do you pray during games? Or did you pray at games? I said, well, I should say, they say, do you pray before games? And I say, yeah, I pray before games. I also pray at TV timeouts. I pray at halftime. I pray in the fourth quarter. Sometimes I'm praying mid-play, you know? So, yes, prayer is constantly going on because we all feel such a dependence and a need for God, and especially in those game day moments. And among many different points throughout the game day where we do pray, one of them is just taking the field as quarterbacks for warm-ups. Usually players huddle together to give a little rah-rah before they go out as a position group. And, you know, I thought, I can give a rah-rah, but I'd rather just pray. Yeah. And so we always would walk out and get into the tunnel right before we jog out in the field, and we just kind of put our hands in as quarterbacks, and rather than give a speech, just pray and commit the day to the Lord. And so I always did that. And when the position switch happened and I was going to be the backup, we were walking out, and Michael looked at me and he said, what's your plan here? You know, are you going to pray? And I said, Mike, it's your day, man. I don't want to be in the way. I said, it's your call. What do you want to do? And he said, I want you to pray. And I said, then that's what we're going to do. And so we got together and we prayed for Mike and for him to be able to lead well and play well and protection. And so, you know, I didn't know there were cameras. I didn't know, just like when I yelled, you like that. I didn't know there were cameras. Maybe I need to start being more aware of the cameras in the tunnel, but I didn't realize it was out there for everybody to see. But I guess the way life is in the NFL, and so you know, God uses those moments too. I would love for him to use Super Bowl trophies too, but God can use you know, failures and becoming the backup and all that to tell a story as well, just like he did with a broken ankle. And so again, it's not my job to, you know, want the story to be different or to, you know, try to change the story. It's my job to surrender and to obey and let him lead.
Kirk, I have two more questions for you. I'm going to start with asking you, like I asked Riley, like how can we be praying for you, for Julie, for Cooper, for Turner? How can we collectively come alongside of you and champion you as you take steps exactly wherever God may lead?
Well, I think what you would pray without even hearing me answer, I think, is all sufficient. I do think that, it's a desire of my heart to finish strong on the football field. That's something I would ask is that, you know, the Lord would allow me to walk away from football finishing strong. And certainly this past season was not that. And so I would love to be able to finish strong in some way, shape, or form. That's certainly a prayer of mine. I certainly want to steward well what God has given me. And he's given me a platform that back when I was drafted or back when I was a high school kid with a broken ankle, to look ahead now and see what God has given me, I would say this is abundantly beyond all that I could have asked for or imagined, as Ephesians 3:20 says. So, but I just pray that God would help me to steward the platform well, and to continue to be bold in sharing my faith in the right ways at the right times, and to be ready, as the New Testament says, that, you know, be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have.
Yes.
And so when I have those opportunities, that I would be ready with an answer for the hope that I have, and that I would shine my light well and be able to use the platform I have in the NFL to point people to Jesus. But would appreciate your prayers in that regard, and we will see where he leads next.
Yeah, say, I hope each and every one of you will be praying alongside of me, our family, all of us here at Ignite, that Kirk would be found faithful with the opportunities you're provided and that you would finish well. Kirk, as we wrap up, you know, these guys have come all weekend. They've been filled. We've talked about freedom, walking in sustained freedom that only Christ has to offer us, but then making those choices every single day to step out of bondage and to walk into, in a sense, the fruit of the Spirit by his strength, not our own. Kirk, as these guys leave Lynchburg, they go back home, they go back to their marriages, their families, their jobs, their occupations. I'm just interested, what's one final word of hope, encouragement, and motivation that you want to leave this group of men with today?
Well, when I think of freedom, for me, the way that the Christian life many times is a paradox. You know, the way up is down. And so for me, many times to experience the abundant life and the freedom that Jesus talks about, we have to let go. And I know in my football journey, the more I've held on to my football career and wanted to gain a football career, the more bondage I felt.
Yeah.
And when Jesus says in the New Testament, in the Gospels, if you want to lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. That's really what, you know, I replaced the word life with football career. And so it was always, well, I'm always trying to gain a football career for myself. But as Jesus said, if you want to gain your life, you'll lose it. And I find myself at times I'm worried about my football career and I'm holding on to it tightly that I'm in bondage and I'm losing. I'm losing at the game of life. But when I'm willing to give it over, to let go, to say, God, you own this football career. I'm just a steward. I'm just going to do my best, but it's not mine. And I let go of the steering wheel and trust him to lead. That's when I become free, and that's when I play my best, and that's when I yell, you like that. That's when those kind of moments happen. And so for me and for all of you, I would just say, you know, understand that many times to find that freedom, it's a paradox, and it doesn't feel right. Wait a minute. To have the football career I want to have, I have to let go of the football career? How does that work? But that's the teachings of Jesus, and that's the way it works. And so I would challenge all of you to think and pray on over the next few days. God, how do you want me to live into greater freedom, to live into the abundant life that Jesus talked about in John 10? What does that look like? And many times, don't be surprised if it's the opposite of what you would have thought or if it's a paradox, but that's many times how God works.
I love that, Kirk, because freedom isn't found in success. Freedom is found in our Savior. Kirk Cousins, man, what a blessing you are. What a blessing you've been. We're so grateful for the life that you live and just the leadership and the consistency, the humility, the faith that you are so unashamed to put on display always. We're grateful for you. Hey, if you're going to be praying for Kirk and you appreciate the testimony that this guy has, not only on the NFL but in all of our lives, let's give him a resounding round of applause. Kirk Cousins, everybody. Hey, and we got some footballs, Kirk. Let's see
all right.
Him, all right?
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.